has for us. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I already read these verses, so I just want to read verses 3 and 4 one more time. It says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The Christian life is a battle, not for ground or possessions, not for political rhetoric or personal advancement, but for the soul. The Christian life is a battle for the soul. Now, once we are saved, once we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're saved forever. But Satan is our enemy. Satan has a desire to see us, A, not get saved, and B, if we do get saved, try to hurt our testimony and our walk with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake, and we need to take that very seriously. We need to take that to heart. When we think of somebody who perhaps has lost their life under whatever circumstances they may be, one of the first questions we should ask ourselves, one of the first things we should challenge ourselves with is, do we know for sure, do they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Why? Because there's a battle for the soul. 1 Timothy, turn back just a couple pages, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. Tonight's message is very simply a soldier of God. When we think about a soldier, we think of many different pieces, different parts. If you have served in the military in some area of our armed forces, first of all, I thank you. But each one of you has a different perspective, a different mindset, a different heart towards your specific area of service. In 1 Timothy, we're told, or excuse me, 2 Timothy, we're told to be a strong soldier. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." As a soldier for Christ, we need to be a strong soldier. When we think about the military and we think of soldiers, there's a couple of things that are very important in their life. One is their diet. If you think about it, a soldier, if you have ever served or ever been near, they want them to make sure that they are healthy, right? That's one of the things that they strive for. You won't see a lot of junk food or garbage anywhere near the chow line, if you will. Jeremiah 15:16 says this, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." The diet for a Christian is just as important as that of a physical soldier. Why? Because we need to be fed in order to grow as a Christian. A week or two ago, we talked a little bit about the difference between the milk of the word and the meat of the word. We need to be spiritually fed, spiritually prepared. Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." This gives the idea of consuming them, bringing them in, and making it part of himself. I wonder how many times have we read the Word of God, and this is our meat, this is our milk, this is our meat, this is everything in between that we need to grow and strengthen ourselves spiritually. But I wonder how many times do we read the Word of God, and instead of having the mindset of I want to consume them, we simply have the mindset of just reading through to check a box. I wonder how often do we just read through it or just kind of skim through passages, and our mind wanders off in the distance. I'll be very honest, that happens to me. You know, you get those little rabbit trails in your mind and you kind of, you know, bounce around from place to place, and all of a sudden you get that moment of, wait a minute, what did I just read? wait a second. And I'll go back and reread it. Instead, we need to have the mindset of Jeremiah where we are eating them, we're consuming them, we're bringing them in, we're making them part of ourselves. Why? Because we need a healthy spiritual diet to grow as a Christian soldier. We know also a strong soldier not only needs a good diet, but he also needs good exercise. If you've ever served in the military, or if you've ever known anyone to serve in the military, you know that their boot camp or their basic training is very rigorous. How many have been through a boot camp of some sort for one branch or another? It's a very rigorous physical activities that they put you through. Lots of marching, lots of running, lots of lifting weights. And why? What's the intent for that? They want you to be a strong soldier. I remember thinking about some of the Navy SEALs and where they have different exercises that as they're going on their rafts, their boats, and they're going, they actually have to be able to reach down and grab one of their own people and pull them into the boat. And they've got to be able to physically do that. Well, if you have a 175, 200 plus pound person, you're trying to do that in a moving boat, that's not easy, is it? Someone who hasn't trained for that is going to struggle. Someone who isn't prepared physically is not going to be able to be successful in what they need to do in order to be their fellow soldier on the battlefield. Just the same, we as Christians, we must exercise ourselves also. When we think about it, how do we exercise as a Christian soldier? The most fundamental foundational point is our faith. Where is your faith? How strong is your faith? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, but because it's one of the most difficult ones to live. We walk by faith, not by sight. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says this, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Have you ever read that verse before? Have you ever thought about that verse before? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We walk by faith, not by sight. Whatever is not of faith is sin. That's a whole other perspective, isn't it? Again, where is our life? Where are we spiritually? Are we growing? Are we strengthening ourselves as a strong soldier in the spiritual warfare? Think of it this way. That soldier who's in boot camp, one of the things that they're trying to accomplish through boot camp is to strengthen that soldier and flex and build their muscles in order for them to be able to do and accomplish the tasks before them. Think of it this way. In our spiritual warfare, as a spiritual soldier of Christ, faith is like a muscle. Faith is like a muscle. It's got to be used. It's got to be stretched. It's got to be, if you will, exercised in order to grow. Now, anyone who's ever worked out or has done bodybuilding or has ever been a soldier to do those pieces knows that that takes work, doesn't it? In order to build your muscles, you take a bodybuilder or someone who exercises religiously, and that takes work to get to that point. We talked about being a marathon runner a couple of weeks ago, and we said there's no one who's going to wake up one morning and say, "Hey, I'm going to go run the Boston Marathon." Why? Because they're not prepared. They're not ready. Just the same as a soldier of Jesus Christ, a soldier in the armed forces, they're not going to take someone right off the street and throw them right on the front lines to be a soldier. Why? Because they're not prepared. They're not ready. They haven't strengthened themselves physically. They haven't learned what they need to learn. But faith is like a muscle. We must exercise our faith in order for it to grow. Think from this perspective for a moment. How strong, or let me ask this question, I should say, how strong is your faith? There's two things I've always been told not to pray for. The first is patience. Have you ever prayed for patience? Oh, be careful. Be careful. If you have kids, don't do it. Just don't do it. And the other one to be careful about praying for is faith. Why? Because it needs to be stretched. It needs to be exercised. It needs to grow. It takes work. The Christian life has never been promised to be easy. The Christian life has never been promised that things are just going to be all so simple. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes determination. It takes a desire from within ourselves to be and to do something better. That's the same as what a soldier does. We grow through right living. We grow through godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, "But refuse profane old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercises profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." When we think about this, folks, it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." You can go out there and you can be a marathon runner today. And you can be in the best shape possible. And you could win the Boston Marathon. You could win, you know, those different Ironman competitions that they have. But then if you say, you know what, I'm good. I'm going to take a break. How long does it take before all of a sudden all that hard work, all that determination, all that muscle memory goes by the wayside? They say, I'm going to take a week off. I'm not going to exercise. I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm going to do whatever I want. All of a sudden, after that week, you try to go and physically go back to what you were doing before, it's a lot more painful, right? It's a lot more painful. It's the same thing with the Word of God. We can't be in the Word of God and studying the Word of God and doing the Word of God and doing things that God wants us to do and then all of a sudden take a vacation. I remember back in Bible college, visiting Maranatha this week kind of reminded me of this, but being back in Bible college and you'd be in the Bible and you'd be in the Word and you'd be studying, and it was fantastic. Not all of it, but most of it was fantastic. I don't mean the Bible, I mean the rest of the college stuff, right? But then you would go on summer break. And you have weeks, a couple of months. And, you know, you're working a couple different jobs, and you're busy, and all those things are happening. And then all of a sudden you come back, and it's like, I've lost something. I'm missing a piece. I've lost some of that spiritual fervor that I had before. You say, why is that? Well, the reason for that is we've lost focus on what we should be doing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this, "But grow in grace." If we have faith, and we have faith in the Word of God, and we have faith in the things of God, and we're working to build those spiritual muscles, we'll be able to then grow in other ways of our spiritual walk. We'll grow in grace. We'll grow in the things that God has for us. 1st and foremost, a strong soldier. Secondly, a single-minded soldier. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. We're going to read that again. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I would say, I do not personally know of anyone who has ever served in the military and said that their service was easy. Now, I know sometimes when they're assigned in different places, it's not as forward and not as painful and not as difficult as some others, but it's not an easy experience. God never promises that the life of a Christian soldier is going to be easy. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Endure hardness. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult. We're going to have problems. We're going to come against things that we just don't know what to do. We're going to come against problems and issues in life and say, "Lord, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me?" But you see, that's where being a single-minded soldier is. We're focused on our mission. We're focused on the things of God. We don't allow those things to creep in and pervert our mindset. 2 Timothy 3:12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Christian life isn't easy. If you are following God, and you are growing in grace, and you are growing in faith, and you have a desire to serve Him, and you have a desire to do what He wants you to do, and you have a desire to serve others and to see the lost be saved, and to reach the world for Jesus Christ, what's He tell us is going to happen? You're going to endure hardness. You're going to suffer persecution. There's going to be problems. There's going to be trials. There's going to be things come your way that is hard, that is difficult, that is almost feels destructive in life. But it's not the end. It's nothing to give up on. We can't allow that to overwhelm us. See, because in John 16:33, God promises both peace and tribulation. It says, these things have I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Earlier, I prayed for peace for one of our sisters in Christ. I prayed for the peace that passes all understanding. See, in our world today, something many people don't understand is having peace. To have that cool, quiet moment with Jesus Christ. They don't understand what peace is, to have true peace with God. But he says, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be problems. Tribulation isn't just problems, is it? Tribulation is persecution. Tribulation is challenges. Tribulation is something that I would say us in America don't understand. But it says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remember that statement. We're going to come back to it in just a few minutes. A good soldier remains free of entanglement. Remains free of entanglement. You can talk to somebody who has served, and I'll use the term boots on the ground, where they have been in battle situations. I think specifically back in World War I, even World War II, and it's still in effect today. But have you ever dealt with barbed wire? You know what I'm talking about, barbed wire? I'll be honest, I grew up on a farm, and we had it, right, for different animals, holding them in and so forth. And I would lie if I didn't tell you there was once or twice that I probably got stuck trying to jump a fence or trying to go through something I wasn't supposed to, and I got caught on the barbed wire. Now, that barbed wire is moderate compared to what was used oftentimes in the military. I know of many situations, especially, like I said, World War I, World War II, where barbed wire was just all over the battlefield. You see, they knew it wouldn't stop a soldier, but they knew it could entangle a soldier. It could get them slowed down. It could get them tangled up to where, frankly, they were an easy target. What's warned here in Timothy is no man that warreth entangleth himself. So just as a soldier, if they see barbed wire in front of them, they want to try to avoid it. They want to try to go around it. They want to try to make it go away, whether they throw an explosive and make a hole or make a gap, but they want to find some way through it that they're not going to get stuck. Here, we see that Paul says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You see, as a Christian soldier, we don't want to allow ourselves to be entangled with the rhetoric of life. We don't want to allow ourselves to be caught up or slowed down that's going to prevent our Christian growth. How many times do people get stuck in the gossip murmurings that happen every single day? How many times do people allow something to get in the way between them and their relationship, their walk with Jesus Christ? How many times do we get entangled with things that slow us down? In Timothy, we're told to avoid those entanglements, to avoid those obstacles. Just as a soldier's heading through a battlefield, they don't want to run right towards the problems. They want to stay away from them. They want to avoid them. They want to clear the way. In the Christian life, there's some people, let's just be real honest, they run right towards those entanglements. They run right towards those problems. They go right after the situations that we should have nothing to do with. No soldier in their right mind wanted to have anything to do with entanglements or the barbed wire in their spiritual life. Now, at the same time, there's things in life that do slow us down, isn't there? There's things in our spiritual walk that slow us in our progression, in our faith, in our spiritual growth. Instead of going towards these entanglements, we need to stay focused. We need to stay focused on what's important. If anyone's ever had the chance to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, when I was young, had a chance to go and visit this tomb. And I still remember it very well. You see, the soldier who is stationed to guard, they will take 21 steps across the mat. At the end of the 21 steps, they will face the tomb for 21 seconds. After that 21 seconds, they will turn again. They'll move the rifle to their outside shoulder, have another 21-second pause, and then return 21 steps again. They'll continue to repeat this over and over and over again until they're relieved of duty. 21, referring to the 21-gun salute, which is the highest honor given to any military dignity. It's the highest honor given. Why do they do this? Out of respect for fallen brothers on the field. They do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They keep all distractions, all obstacles, all entanglements away from them. If their nose itches, they don't touch it until they're relieved and out of sight. If somebody comes in and there's distraction, nothing distracts them. Nothing keeps them from their purpose of guarding this tomb. Why do they do this? They do it out of respect. They do it out of honor. But they're able to do it because they're focused. They're focused on their mission. They know what they are charged to do, and they won't let anything interfere. You can go there at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to see the soldier do the same thing every single time. Why is that? It's not out of ego. It's out of respect. It's out of love. It's out of admiration for those who have fallen. I wonder tonight, what entangles your spiritual walk? What slows you down from growing your relationship with Jesus Christ? What gets in the way? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I will say that Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, is probably what gets in the way of most of us in our spiritual lives. Verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve two masters. In our society today, especially in America, I believe this is the biggest entanglement most Christians deal with. I believe this is the biggest distraction that people deal with because they are so focused on the things of the world that they lose focus on that which is the most important, and that is serving and honoring and following Jesus Christ. They get distracted, they lose their focus, and they say, "Well, I'm not really serving two masters. I love God, and that's the only person I worship." You know how you can tell what people's priorities are? You know how you can tell what they have as their God? And I'll use a small letter, G-O-D. You can look at two things. And this is going to hit, this might prick some hearts, and I understand that. You look at their date book or their calendar, and you look at their checkbook. Where do they invest their time? Where do they invest their finances? Where do they invest their energy of life? Why do I say that? Because when we are allowing the world to overcome us and we are so busy in the rhetoric of life and we don't take the time to serve God, we don't take the time to be in His house, we lose focus. And I'm not just saying being here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Yes, absolutely, that's fantastic. What I'm saying is we get so busy in the rhetoric of life, we forget what our purpose in life is. And that's when we miss the opportunities to tell others also. That's when we miss the opportunities of that gas station attendant or that server at the restaurant or maybe that coworker that we sit beside 40 hours a week but we barely ever talk to. See, it's when those things happen that we're serving two masters. It may not be in our heart's desire. It may not be intentional. It may not be something we want to have happen or we even realize is happening, but it's taking our time. It's taking our attention. And we're so disoriented by everything that's going around, we lose focus. When that happens, you see, we're serving two masters. It may not be intentional. It may not be our heart's desire, but that's what we're doing. A good soldier also obeys his commanding officer. He obeys his commanding officer. I'll say this. We need to obey God even when it doesn't make sense. We need to obey God even when it doesn't make sense. There's going to be times in life when God says, I need you to, and fill in the blank. And that's different for everyone. Maybe it has to do with a job. Maybe it has to do with a family situation. Maybe it has to do with a financial situation. Maybe it has to do with service, whatever it might be. And you might say, God, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I do that? We need to obey God even when it doesn't make sense. We need to obey him and say, all right, Lord, this is my step of faith. Remember, we talked about building that muscle of faith. That's part of what builds that muscle of faith. That's part of what grows us as a Christian soldier, obeying God even when it doesn't make sense. Lastly, a secure soldier. A secure soldier. You can go to almost any branch of the military, and they're very clear on who they are, aren't they? Whether it be Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, et cetera, et cetera. And you can go to them and you can say, you know, so-and-so is best. And if it's not them, buddy, they're going to tell you otherwise, aren't they? Right? I think of that every year they have the Army-Navy football game, right? And I'm not going to tell you who I root for because it doesn't matter tonight. But I tell you what, the lines are very clear at that game who's rooting for who, isn't it? They're very passionate. They're very outgoing. Why? Because they know who they're fighting for. They know what team they're on. Their position is very secure. As a soldier of Christ, our position's secure. There's no doubt. There should be no doubt who we are. There should be no doubt what we stand for. There should be no doubt what the desire of our heart is and how we live and what we do and how we do it. A secure soldier also knows their destination. They know where they're going. They know their objective. They know what they need to do. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3 says this, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, one of the greatest things of being a soldier of Jesus Christ and being saved is knowing that our ultimate victory is guaranteed. Our ultimate victory is guaranteed. There's an old Southern gospel song, and I won't sing it. Poor Kendall got to hear our singing yesterday. We left a message for her to wish her happy birthday. But there's an old Southern gospel song, and it goes like this. I read the back of the book, and we win. I've read the Bible. I have no doubt in my mind that at the end of the day, Jesus comes victorious. I have no doubt in my mind that at the end of the day, when all is done and all is said, Jesus Christ is going to come out victorious. I've read the back of the book. I know we win. I know that when I die, no matter how I battle here on earth, I'm going to spend eternity forever in heaven with Jesus. There's no greater security in life than that. There's no greater comfort in life than to know that. Our destination is secure. A secure soldier knows their commission. They know their objective. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Moreover, is required that a man be found faithful. The Marine Corps probably the two most popular words, and I wonder tonight if we know what they stand for, is the Marine Corps alma mater, and that is Semper Fidelis. Everyone know that? You hear someone say Semper Fi? Did you ever hear someone say that before? If you're a Marine, if Brother Kurt was here tonight, he'd probably be shouting it out. Semper Fi. Do you know what that stands for? Does anyone know what those words mean? It's soft, I can't hear. Always faithful. Always faithful. It's not sometimes. It's not when it's convenient. Could you imagine a Marine going to complete their objective, whatever that might be, and they say, this doesn't work for me. I'll come back later. Or a Marine say, I'm going to wait until the stars align just right and it's a perfect situation. No, it's always faithful. Not when it's convenient, not when I feel like it, not when I want to, not when I think this is going to be the best thing that works out for me. It's always faithful. Just the same as their motto is, as their, and it's deeper than a motto. If I use that with some people, they'd be very upset with me, and I mean no disrespect. But it's always faithful. That is how we are to live our Christian life, that we are always faithful to God. Not sometimes, not once in a while, not on Sundays, not on Wednesdays, not when, hey, it's gonna just work for my life. No, always faithful. So when we come across that opportunity with that coworker, when we come across that opportunity with that gas station attendant, when we come across that opportunity with that server at the restaurant, that we're always faithful. We're always willing to share the word of God. We're always willing to, maybe it's something as simple as give a tract, but we're always faithful to the things of God. 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art so called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. That's our charge. That's what we're responsible to do, is to fight the good fight. We already know who wins. We already know Jesus Christ is going to be victorious over all. We know that if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's where we're going to spend eternity forever. But until that day, until that time, we are charged to fight the good fight of faith. To step up and be the Christian that God wants us to be. To teach our young people what they need to know to equip them for their life. To equip them for their spiritual battles. To grow in grace. To flex that muscle of faith and grow that muscle of faith. We must be strong, getting the proper spiritual diet and exercise. We must be single-minded, enduring hardness, and resisting the entanglements of life. The things that would pull us away from Jesus Christ. We must be secure, understanding our position and our destination and our commission. We never want to use our salvation and treat it like it's fire.